Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. This week, I'll be talking with Frameline director Paul Struthers about Frameline 44, the world's largest virtual LGBTQ plus film festival, which starts this week. Taiwanese filmmaker Ming Lang Chen also joins the conversation to talk about his film, The Teacher. And we'll welcome back to our Corona Radio Theater folks from the San Francisco Mime Troupe for episode 6 of their summer podcast series, Tales of the Resistance, which picks up the story of novice nurse Susie Terse, brought to you adventure style. Can nurse Susie Terse continue to fight off the bureaucracy while fending off the corrupt capitalist healthcare conspiracy? Or will she be locked up as a cop-hating commie forever? Find out in this week's episode of Open Air's Corona Radio Theater. Plus, Peter Robinson on hand to talk about books about our, I don't want to say favorite president, but our current president, of which there has been a lot written. Stay with us. Well, tonight, Frameline, the world's largest LGBTQ plus film organization, kicks off an 11-day virtual festival, which will feature 10 world premieres, 4 international premieres, 3 North American premieres, and a U.S. premiere thrown in for good measure, including new narrative features, documentaries, episodics, and shorts programs. A live event tonight kicks things off with the world premiere of the film version of, let's see how I can say this properly on air. I can't swear on NPR or public radio, but I think I'm okay with it perhaps using a foreign word. So it's actually the film version of Scheisse and Champagne, San Francisco drag icon Darcy Drolinger's hit comedy, at the West Wind Solano Drive-In Theater, the live version of which, when it premiered back at the Oasis in 2015, was described by the SF Examiner as raunchy, outrageous, and undeniably, gloriously tasteless. It's billed as a white exploitation comedy with dance, and it's a send-up of sexploitation films of the 1970s, with Drolinger starring as the titular Champagne Horowitz Jones Dickerson White, a charismatic stripper who finds herself in danger after both her fiancé and half-sister are murdered. Well, here to talk about the festival is a pleasure to welcome back to Open Air Frameline's Director of Exhibitions and Programming, Paul Struthers. Paul's originally from Scotland and has served in a multitude of industry roles in the UK and on the film festival circuit in Australia, where as film director for the Queer Screens Sydney Mardi Gras Film Festival, he tripled audience numbers. Paul, welcome back to Open Air.
Hey, how are you? Nice to be back on.
I'm good. It's good to hear you a little bit in a different circumstance than when we last talked. And certainly the festival is in a certain different shape as well. So Frameline has always been associated with the month of June, though the good work of Frameline, of course, continues all year long with its educational outreaches and archives. Why a mini festival now?
So basically in June, we decided to put on a 4-day virtual festival to coincide with the 50th anniversary of Pride. And we'd also decided that we were going to do another festival in September so that the two festivals together will come close to what a usual in-person festival was. And also there was just so many great films that we'd confirmed before COVID hit. And we know our audiences need some LGBTQ plus cinema in their life, so we just went for it, you know?
Right. Well, Frameline has always had a strong virtual presence in both its archives and the way it has outreach throughout the year. So not too much of a challenge to make the full festival a virtual event, although, of course, there's some pluses and minuses about that. I imagine a plus would you're saving an awful lot in theater rental costs, but you're also losing a bit of ticket revenue, I imagine.
Well, I would say that doing a virtual festival has been an interesting experience because we're used to in person. We were fortunate that we learned how to do it in June. But yeah, it's still a lot of work to put it together, you know, and for people to get used to using a platform and not being in person. But yeah, we're fortunate that we use a platform called CineSend, which looks really good, is very user-friendly. And yeah, people in June who viewed loved it. So I'm sure patrons are going to love viewing Frameline films on CineSend again this month.
And are you getting a sense of the interest in terms of numbers of people that have already subscribed or have bought tickets to the virtual events?
Yeah, June was a big success. And yeah, September is looking like it's going to be another huge success, which is wonderful, you know. I think once people get used to virtual film festivals for the time being, it's something that people really strongly start to engage with. And because all of our screenings either have a pre-recorded Q&A or a live Q&A, it gets as close to the festival experience as we can be, you know.
And sure, with the virtual Q&A, you're actually much more up close and personal to the panel than you are in a large theater.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And with the live Q&As, you can ask questions on Facebook, YouTube, or CineSend platform. And one plus of, well, there's several pluses, but one plus is you have access to bigger talent who might not have the time to come to San Francisco. So yeah, we're fortunate to have some big names in June and in September that may not have been available or had the time spare to come, you know?
Mm-hmm. Tell me how tonight's premiere got underway with Darcy's amazing, shall we say, Shisa and Champagne at the West Wind Solano Drive-In in Concord.
In June, we did another local film at the Drive-In called Ahead of the Curve by Jen Rainin, which is also going to have encore online screenings during this festival. And it worked so well. And we discussed it with the team, with Darcy and the team. And I believe some of them attended in June. And we just thought, you know what? It worked for Ahead of the Curve, which was a fantastic film and world premiere. Let's do your film, Darcy, at the drive-in this September. And we made it work. Also, I think in these times, it's been such a challenging year. We all need a bit of a laugh. So I think people are going to be laughing in their cars tonight. It's the perfect drive-in movie, you know?
It's a nice little antidote to everything that's been going on over these past several months, that's for sure. Also, interesting that Pixar has contributed a gay short, probably a first for Pixar and for Frameline.
Yeah, so Out by Pixar, it garnered so much press when it was released on Disney Plus, and we've been talking with them for a while to make something happen. And we're super fortunate that we're working with them again. We're showing it. It's a free community screening, which is so important to us to allow people who might not have access to be able to access. And we're going to have a panel discussion with the creators and some of the actors afterwards to really get an insight into how the film was made and what's coming up next, you know?
Sure. And when is that going to be screened?
That's going to be screened on Saturday, the 26th of September at 12 p.m., if I'm correct. I believe that's right.
I do see that now in the press release, yes. Well, help us crunch down on some of the other fascinating offerings that are going to be happening over these next several days.
There's so many films. We have over 100 films. Now, I would say you just have to pick your journey, go on the website and see what tickles your fancy. One film that's so all the films, the majority of the films are available for the full 11 days on CineSend. However, we have given films all a designated screening slot so that people feel more together, can watch the Q&As together. A film tomorrow night that's playing is called No Hard Feelings. It won the Teddy Award at this year's Berlin Film Festival. And the Teddy Award is the biggest queer film prize there is in queer cinema. And it's just a beautiful love story with outstanding performances. I don't want to say too much about it to give it away, but it's just one of my top picks in the festival for sure.
Uh-huh.
There's so many films.
And one of the bonus items, too, of this being a virtual festival is that it won't sell out. So you can definitely attend the screening, whether you think the tickets are short or not. Paul, some do, actually,
because some films, we have different deals with distributors, filmmakers, sales agents. There are some that have limited capacity. So films can sell out like a normal screening, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll let that all the more reason to encourage people to go to frameline.org and make your picks now. Paul, there's a bit of a mini focus on Taiwan. Is there a significance there? A couple of feature films.
Indeed, there is Taiwan Equals Love and The Teacher, which we'll talk about more depth with the director shortly. We decided to do this because Taiwan was the first Asian country to pass marriage equality. And we love both of the films, and we felt it's about time we did a spotlight on Taiwan. We've played films from Taiwan in the past as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Taiwan Equals Love is a beautiful slice of life of Taiwan, with three couples being portrayed. One, a 35-year-long relationship with talking about the different struggles that people are still facing in Taiwan, in spite of the major legislation that granted gay rights. For instance, the older couple, one of which is facing Parkinson's, has got inheritance issues that he may not inherit because of certain laws in Taiwan. And in Taiwan, interestingly enough, you can adopt as a single parent, but not as a gay couple yet.
Mm.
And that Taiwan Equals Love is directed by Sophia Yen. It's a world premiere in Mandarin with English subtitles. And another Taiwanese feature is The Teacher, directed by Ming Lang Chen, who I'm delighted to welcome into the conversation. Ming, welcome to Open Air and our KLW airwaves.
Hello, David. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. This is a really interesting full-on drama, which takes us into the streets and bedrooms of Taipei in a very intimate way, through the eyes of Kevin, a 26-year-old high school civics teacher who attends rallies for same-sex marriage and is romantically involved with an older man, but a bit of a clash in the classroom with his supervisor about teaching that gay rights in a civics sort of class. Now, tell me a little bit about the topic, how you chose this as a topic for your film, and is any of it autobiographical?
Yes. Let me start from my initial idea about this movie. So in the beginning, I wanted to tell a story about a Sarah discordant relationship, especially about the younger LGBT generation in Taiwan who grew up after the end of national martial law in 1987. Nowadays, the environment is totally different than 30 years ago when the LGBT identity was heavily stigmatized. After further research, I got more interested in trying to find out, even though Taiwan has been gradually marching toward LGBT equality, but on a personal level, for a young person, while searching for love and searching for one's own identity, what is the landscape of it? And on the other hand, I have always wanted to tell the story of a Taiwanese theater director, Tian Qiyuan. In 1997, when he was 23 years old, he was the first person in Taiwan to be exposed of his HIV status on the media to the public. So at the time, he was creating plays after play, while in the meantime fighting with AIDS and discrimination. He died at age 32. In the last 10 years of his life, he created 35 plays. So the opening scene of the movie is one of his plays. One of the original cast of the play was used in the film version as well.
Wow, that's fascinating, because I was going to ask you about that very evocative opening. It's almost like a dance performance, but it's a teacher's play. That's fantastic. And then we dive into how this teacher is attending rallies, which we see quite vividly. And I'm wondering if there's a difference after May of 2019 in attitude in Taiwan towards gay rights in an urban setting versus a rural setting, or are people starting to come around in terms of acceptance?
Well, first of all, there are more than 4,000 couples registered for same-sex marriage so far. So I think that's really something, knowing that a lot of couples are living a happier life. However, Taiwan is small, you know. It takes about 4 hours drive from north to south. But I think the gap between Taipei, the capital, and the rest of Taiwan is quite big. Some anti-LGBT group, they still uses baffling arguments to instigate opposition. Like they would say, homosexuality will cause human extinction, or just simply say, you have no offsprings because of marriage equality. And this, the effect of this kind of language makes a much bigger effect. It's in a society that's really something, tells you so much about the mentality of the society.
Well, part of the excitement of Frameline is, of course, the live setting of seeing the reaction of an audience at the Castro Theater in San Francisco. Did you have an opportunity to screen the teacher anywhere else in front of a live audience?
Yes, but I wasn't being able to be there. We screened at Sydney, and then we screened at I think Iceland, also as well as Los Angeles. Several other places, and because of the COVID, I just wasn't being able to be there.
Right. Well, let's hope that you get to see your film and its reaction. It's the Ming Lang Chen, director from Taiwan, currently living in Brooklyn. His film is The Teacher, part of Frameline 44, frameline.org for more information. Tonight, 7:30 sharp, gets underway with Darcy Drolinger's Scheisse and Champagne at the Solano, West Wind Solano Drive-In in Concord. More information at frameline.org. Ming, thanks so much for taking some time today.
Thank you so much.
Likewise, Paul Struthers, have a wonderful festival. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll have the next episode of the Corona Radio Theater in the San Francisco Mime Troupe. And next, Peter Robinson with some book reviews, as well as helping us breathe a little easier.
And you've just been listening to what was the very end of that song, which is Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. And if you've been outside these last few weeks, you'll know about smoke and you'll know about your eyes. But today, I'm using the word smoke metaphorically because I'm looking at many of the books that have come out over the last couple of years on the presidency of Donald Trump. And there is indeed a lot of smoke flying around, political smoke, in the way different authors have interpreted his presidency. But I'd first like to begin with a quotation from a speech given by Abraham Lincoln on June the 16th, 1856, at Springfield. "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall. but I do expect it will cease to be divided. And these prophetic words, I think, may have been working in 1856, but they throw out the question today about a house divided, indeed a country divided. So the first book which I'm going to recommend, and I think if you're only going to read one book on the President Trump's time in office, I would recommend the new book by Bob Woodward, which has the simple one-word title, Rage. It's a follow-up to his previous book, was called Fear. So we've gone from fear to rage. And I'm going to quote one paragraph. It comes towards the end of the book, and he's in the room with Trump on February the 7th. And Trump is saying that behind every door, dynamite behind every door, the unexpected explosion that could change everything. He was apparently thinking about some external event that would affect the Trump presidency. And Woodward goes on, but now I've come to the conclusion that the dynamite behind the door was in plain sight. It was Trump himself, the oversized personality, the failure to organize, the lack of discipline, the lack of trust in others he had picked in experts, the undermining or the attempted undermining of so many American institutions, the failure to be a calming, healing voice, the unwillingness to acknowledge error, the failure to do his homework, to extend the olive branch, to listen carefully to others, to craft a plan. And although Woodward was originally a Republican, believe it or not, I now think he's a centrist. And I think one of the questions which emerges from both his book and some of the others I'm going to be talking about is that key question, will the center hold? Woodward had access to Trump for 18 different one-hour interviews, sometimes on the phone and sometimes in his office. And being an experienced journalist, he was careful to record these interviews, which meant, and we've heard some of them recently being played back, you cannot dispute that these were the words that Trump spoke. And this is particularly important in a world of so-called fake news, half-truths, and what may be simple, straightforward lies. So he explores the Trump presidency, and he comes to the conclusion that there are five key things which, if you read the book, it's a 400-page book, can and does sum up what he found out. First, he found out, and Trump admitted it on tape, that he knew how serious the coronavirus was. He knew it, and he said that it was his intention to play things down. And that, to me, is extremely important, because once again, we're playing with the truth, his excuse that he didn't want to panic the country. The second point he makes, and it comes from Dan Coats, who was one of the intelligence security advisors, that Trump had something on him. And again, this is another very important point, and Woodward explores this very carefully. He then goes on to reveal that at the same time that Trump knew the danger of the virus, that he also knew and admitted to having a new nuclear weapon, a system that nobody else knows about. Again, this was a dangerous assertion because the CIA did not want those type of facts revealed. And finally, when it comes to his relationship with the North Korean president, Kim Jong-un, he explains that he had a special relationship with him. And unlike other reporters, what Woodward was able to view were the letters exchanging ideas. So with all those photo ops, at the end of the day, nothing materialized. Now, the reason I recommend the book Rage by Woodward is that it does give a clear narrative about all the other personalities whom he's reviewed in the course of his writing this book. And in terms of understanding, yeah, Woodward started off in the early days with Nixon. He's covered each president since then and is an experienced hand at explaining things if you're not necessarily a political guru. He knows how to put things across. The book's called Rage. It's now available in bookstores. The second book I'm going to reference to is by Michael Wolff. It came out early in the presidency. It's called Fire and Fury. And this particular book has sometimes been disliked by journalists because he effectively plays a little loose with the facts. But what he does do is really create what I call mood history. You feel you are sitting in some of these meetings in the White House, and you get that sense of distrust, sense of we don't know what's happening from the other participants in the room. And that, I think, is really important in setting the scene as to how so many, I'm going to say, bad decisions have been made. So many people have been fired. In fact, the huge turnover, which often suggests that there was no real forethinking about policy. The second book by two Washington Post reporters, Carol Leaning and Phil Rucker, called A Very Stable Genius. And they have been on the reporting side of how events happened in the White House from many years ago. And together, they explain, particularly in relation to General McMaster, how Trump would refuse to listen. He was brought in as a national security advisor. He lasted a short time. He was out of a job and on his way home. And I think that is another symptom of how all these different books explain the situation when you're dealing or trying to brief Donald Trump. A third book, which is back in the news again, is by John Bolton. It's called The Room Where It Happened. And already there's a suit against Bolton that he revealed national security additions. Bolton, in fact, played an important part in softening Trump's desire to pull troops out of Afghanistan when the first set of negotiations with the Taliban were about to happen. And, of course, Bolton himself would describe himself as a conservative. So he, from a conservative point of view, is questioning some of the policies of Donald Trump. A book which was particularly popular during the impeachment is actually called Impeach. It's by Neil Kanyard, and it definitely gives you the constitutional reasons as to why and how impeachment was in fact justified. Now, there are other books which I think you have to see them in the context of the motives of the writers. Michael Cohen, I would call it a revenge book, getting even, having spent time in jail. And then both the FBI people, Andrew McCabe and John Comey, again, had their own axes to grind, but they've given informative descriptions of how the FBI viewed this. And finally, a last book by the niece of Donald Trump, Mary Trump, herself a psychologist, which explains Trump's behavior in the family. And again, this picture of being the bully, the book is called Too Much and Never Enough.
And Peter, we're going to have to leave it there. We've heard about the Mary Trump book. I'm looking forward to reading it too. Sadly, this president is going to be written about more than Lincoln. And there's going to never be no shortage of words to read and get frustrated about over this guy. But thank you for your insight on these and other books. And we look forward to your next time with us.
Okay. Thank you, David. Good to be here.
And now to continue with our, believe it or not, our sixth edition of the San Francisco Mime Troops summer podcast series, Tales of the Resistance, where we pick up the story of novice nurse Susie Terse.
This is Radio Mime Troop, and welcome to Tales of the Resistance, a summer of original political comedy radio plays by the confusingly named, always radical, and never ever silent San Francisco Mime Troop. Join us for stories in four classic radio styles: adventure, detective noir, horror, and science fiction. Every 2 weeks, we will be presenting one episode written, directed, and performed by Mime Troop veterans and dealing with the revolutionary issues of the day.
And now, friends, the San Francisco Mime Troop presents the heartwarming adventures of...
Paging Nurse Terse, Paging Nurse Terse.
That's right, it's Novice Nurse Susie Terse, everyone's favorite tell-it-like-it-is healthcare worker, brought to you by...
Hey, this is Ali with a Y.
And this is Becky with an I, and this is...
Girl Moments! So, Becky, you know what I'm sick of?
What?
Dystopia.
Oh my god, yes. Can we just not?
But you know what the opposite of dystopia is?
Oh, I know. Utopia.
Yes, girl. Utopia, aka brunch.
I thought utopia was like an ideal society.
Aka Eggs Bunny with my girls. And it's so easy with Bestie Brunch from Jamazon Elite.
Brunch? From Jamazon?
So I know you can do brunch with the outdoor tables and the masks.
But it's such a bummer to see the stressed out servers.
Right? I came to get buzzed off bottomless mimosas, not worry about my health.
That's not the vibe of brunch.
Exactly. So let me tell you what we're doing this weekend.
Tell.
We go to the park.
Cool.
There's a picnic all laid out with food, drinks, everything brunchy.
Yes.
We hang out as long as we want, and when we're done, we just walk away. No cleanup.
That sounds like the best, but how?
With Bestie Brunch from Jamazon Elite, all you have to do is pay for the food. Delivery and cleanup is free.
Honestly, I don't understand how Jamazon can provide such affordable services.
Right? It's like, is Chip Bonzo losing money?
Okay, let's call our BFs Ted and Todd, and our BFF Steph with an F and Tiffany with two E's, and let's do this.
Bestie Brunch from Jamazon Elite.
This has been your girl moment.
Bye.
And now it's time for Novice Nurse Susie Terse.
Novice Nurse Susie Terse, with speed she'll proceed.
No need to rehearse.
A rock that you can rely on when bad goes to worse. She's no nonsense.
Nurse Susie Terse.
This week's episode, Diagnosis Capitalism. When we last left Novice Nurse Susie Terse, she was on a mission. Good Dr. Janice had asked her to deliver a blood sample to Crosstown Medical Lab, a blood sample that could be the key to a COVID-19 vaccine. Susie and ambulance driver Sparks raced across town, only to have their ambulance mysteriously run out of gas. But when Dr. Janice miraculously arrived to help, Susie discovered that this Dr. Janice was actually Dr. Janice's evil twin sister, Dr. Janice, who wanted the sample for her own greedy plan. Susie escaped with the blood sample, only to find herself struggling against a police officer in the middle of a protest.
All right, sister. Hands behind your back.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Let's go, Antifa.
Do you even know what Antifa means?
It means bad, un-American person.
It means anti-fascist.
So what?
If I was Antifa and you were fighting me, what would that make you?
The police?
The fascist.
You can't say that.
I just said it.
I'm taking you in.
But I'm on a mission. I work at City Hospital and...
Wait. City Hospital?
I'm a nurse.
Hospital. Sick people?
Yes. I'm there 24/7.
Sick people?
I've been exposed to everything.
Everything?
For all I know, I could have COVID-19.
COVID-19!
COVID-19! The global pandemic that had created national pandemonium wreaked economic devastation and left millions drowning in a sea of mixed messaging.
Get away from me, sick people! Ah, I need hand sanitizer!
That was easy. Okay, I can still make it to Crosstown Lab. Nurse Terse!
I'm worried about you.
Mom?
You missed the family Zoom again.
Not a good time, Mom.
Never is.
I'm working right now.
Overworked and underpaid.
You can't see that.
Just it.
Mother.
You can't keep sleeping in the garage.
And I can't bring the virus inside the house.
It's been weeks since I've seen you without a window between us.
Mom.
You need to find a different job.
Stop.
Moms never stop.
That's it. Wear a mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, and stay home. Bye.
Hey, Susie.
Sparks?
Been driving all over town looking for you. Come on, get in.
It was Susie's pal, Sparks, the driver of good old Ambulance 57. Susie hopped in, only to find an additional passenger on board.
Dr. Janice?
Oh, goodness. I'm so glad we found you.
When I got back to the hospital, Dr. Janice told me she wasn't the one who gave you a ride when we mysteriously ran out of gas.
When Sparks said that I picked you up in a big black car, I thought, whoa, that's clearly impossible, since I was seeing patients at the hospital all day.
Sparks, the person in the big black car wasn't Dr. Janice. It was her evil twin sister, Dr. Janice.
Evil twin sister?
Mom?
Mail came, government letter.
Open it.
Already did.
And?
Dear Miss Terse, congratulations on your graduation from City Nursing School. This letter is to inform you that on November 1st, your federal student loan repayment plan will begin.
Your mom?
Who else?
Who are you talking to?
Sparks and Dr. Janice.
Dr. Janice, let me talk to her.
My mom wants to talk to you.
Of course. Yes, Mrs. Terse.
I'm concerned about my daughter.
And what kind of a mother would you be if you weren't?
But you always have her working so hard.
Because she is one of our most talented nurses and completely essential to our efforts during this extraordinary time.
I'm working right now.
She's working right now.
So wear a mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, and stay home. Bye. Gee, thanks, Dr. Janice. I guess my mom is just being...
Mother.
Uh-oh. Spark, stop. Pull over.
What? Why?
Essential worker down.
You mean that mailman?
Ow!
Mister?
I was just delivering the mail. Ow!
Don't move. I'm a nurse.
My shoulder.
It is dislocated.
Oh! That happens when the bag's too heavy.
Why is it so heavy?
Cutbacks. More boxes, fewer people to carry them.
Hello?
I got it. A tech job.
No!
You're bleeding.
I am?
He is.
I'm bleeding?
Who's bleeding?
The postman. He skinned his elbow when he fell.
The post office. That's a good job.
I was always proud to be a postal worker.
A career in the civil service.
Security.
Benefits.
But when they cut jobs and took away machines, that...
You also need to ice this ankle.
Seems like the bosses want it to fail. Then the government can sell it to the highest bidder just like everything else.
You should be home.
But then no work, no doctor, no therapy, no meds for me or my family. I used to think as a civil servant I'd be taken care of. Now I feel like I'm being taken advantage of.
On second thought, not the post office. How about sales? Commissions.
I already have a job, an important job that I'm doing right now. Tell her.
She's saving my life.
Mom!
What?
Mask, hands, don't touch face, stay home, bye.
Oh, I would have retired years ago if we had national health care.
National health care?
National health care. A movement as old as America itself, and one that threatens the chokehold of the corporatocracy that masquerades as our democracy.
Oh, then I wouldn't have to keep working for the coverage.
Okay, let's get this shoulder back in. Hold still. One, two, three.
Oh! Wow, you're good.
Every nurse is.
Thanks, nurse.
Terse! Let's go, Sparks.
We will return to Novice Nurse Susie Terse after this message from...
Hey, this is Allie with a Y.
And this is Becky with an I. And this is...
Girl Moment. So, Allie, I'm super excited about Bestie Brunch, but there's one little problem.
What?
Well, the world is literally on fire, and the air is literally poison. I'm not sure we should go to the park.
Can California just be burnt already?
Being on evacuation standby is such a downer.
Let me tell you about Evacuate Me from Jamison Elite.
Yes, please.
Evacuate Me does all the work of evacuating for you.
Amazing.
You set up your profile ahead of time with a list of belongings and your top three preferred hotels. When the evacuation order comes, the app will book you a room in whichever hotel isn't on fire, and you just go.
And I take my stuff.
No, girl. A Jamison delivery van will come get it for you.
So the van is coming in to the evacuation zone.
Yes, so you can get out safe.
But isn't that dangerous for the driver?
Oh, well, I'm sure they get hazard pay or whatever.
And what about the roads? Should a bunch of Jamison vans be clogging up evacuation routes?
Becky. Safety first. Like, your safety first. You can't save others till you save yourself.
I guess.
That's why I'm telling all my friends to sign up for Evacuate Me, because I care. And next year, when your preferences auto-load at the beginning of fire season, you'll thank me.
Yeah, thanks.
This has been your girl moment. Bye. Becky.
Oh, right. Bye.
We now return to novice nurse Susie Terse. When we last left our intrepid hero, Susie, Sparks, and Dr. Janice had resumed their race to the Crosstown Medical Lab in Ambulance 57.
Oh, what you said before about my sister.
Evil Dr. Janice?
She's not evil! Perhaps a bit ambitious, but you can't say she's evil.
I just said it. And greedy, and unscrupulous, and...
And?
And she drained the gas out of good old 57 so she could get the blood sample.
The blood sample?
Why would she do that?
To cash in on a vaccine. Do no harm. Huh. It's like she only got the hypocrite part of the Hippocratic Oath.
Gee whiz. She sounds like the exact opposite of you, Dr. Janice.
We're actually more alike than you think.
Just imagine if this blood sample really is the key to making a vaccine that would end this nightmare pandemic. People could come out of their houses. Children could go to school and play in playgrounds. We could see live performances in actual theaters. I could hug my mom again.
And I could stop wearing masks that make my ears hurt and my glasses steam up.
Sounds great.
But
what?
Well, I've been thinking a lot lately. Say we do get a COVID vaccine, but we keep putting freeways and rainforests, butcher shops and jungles, gone places we maybe shouldn't be going. There's still going to be new viruses. And with all the weird climate stuff going on, nature's really mad at us right now. And who could blame her? All I know is we've got a lot of work to do. You know? To heal people and the planet. But hey, at least docs like you will stay busy, right, Dr. Janice? Always looking for new vaccines, I mean.
Yes, Sparks. I imagine we will.
Okie dokie, we're finally here. Crosstown Lab.
This way. You know, Susie, a little bird told me that the management here is looking for a research assistant.
So?
Someone as bright as you would flourish in a place like this.
Me? In a real lab coat?
I would gladly put in a good word for you.
Oh, no. Guys, look. Crosstown Medical Lab. It's closed.
Closed?
Closed?
Don't worry, there's an after-hours bell.
Oh.
Good day, Schmuck.
Dr. Janice and friends, welcome.
Schmuck is the head lab technician here at Crosstown Lab and a longtime associate of mine.
Yes, we go way back.
Nurse Terse has brought the specimen I told you about.
Yes, I have it right here in my backpack. Let's see. Face mask, energy bars, Hello Kitty Band-Aids, sanitizer.
Goodness, you carry around a lot.
Always prepared.
Clearly.
Okay, here it is. Here you go, Dr. Janice.
Is that... the blood sample?
Yes, Schmuck. The blood sample.
I've executed the documents as requested, and the transaction is complete.
Thank you, Schmuck.
And the new security cameras.
Thank you.
And the guard dogs.
I do love the puppies.
So if you'll just sign here.
Of course.
Crosstown Labs is now officially part of Didymus Incorporated.
Schmuck!
Didymus Incorporated?
No, that's not... He said... Did he must get back to work? And I'm saying, no, Schmuck, you does must not. You can take a break.
You're lying.
You can't say that.
I just said it.
Yes, yes, all right. There has been a little change. Crosstown Lab is the newest addition to the Didymus Galaxy.
What? Why?
Consolidation. Cut the competition and raise the profit margin. You were right, Sparks. There will be more pandemics and a never-ending need for newer vaccines. Better to consolidate now and corner the market.
Gosh, Dr. Janice, this doesn't sound like you.
That's because she's not.
Not what?
Not her. This Dr. Janice is a liar and evil.
You can't say that.
I just did. This is Dr. Janice's evil twin, Dr. Janice.
Yes! And thank you for giving me this blood sample. Within this little vial is my ticket to the very tippy-tippy top. With a vaccine developed from it, Didymus Labs will eclipse Pfizer, Roche, and Novartis so fast they won't even feel their own side effects. I will hold the patent on the one thing the world wants right now. The vaccine that will defeat COVID-19!
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 What about the people that will not be able to afford the vaccine?
Yeah, the people.
The people will have to pay just like everyone else.
What if they can't?
Then it is what it is.
Golly, Dr. Janice, I wonder what your sister would think.
I don't know. Why don't we ask her? What do you think, sister? Am I evil and ambitious? On the contrary, I think you are brilliant and pragmatic.
Wait a minute.
I'm glad to hear you finally say it.
Susie, what's going on?
It's impossible to be a healer in a system afflicted with a pre-existing condition of greed. And what does a bleeding heart get you but a big mess to clean up?
Don't you see, Sparks? Dr. Janice and Dr. Janice are both
Dr. Janice!
And we're looking out for number one. That's me. And me. And if that's evil, well, it is what it is.
Like Jekyll and Hyde.
I prefer Janice and Janice. So, what do you think, Nurse Terse? Your cleverness would be a great asset to Didymus Labs.
What happened to reason and science?
The reason I got into science was to be admired and rich. Ta-da!
But you took an oath. Do no harm.
What harm is there in being a bazillionaire? You both act like capitalism is a dirty word.
And free health care for all?
Oh, that'll never happen.
But if the people want it...
The owners of this country won't allow it. If the working class had free healthcare that followed them from job to job, employers would have to, I don't know, offer better wages and better working conditions to keep their employees happy. But as long as companies can threaten the workers with a loss of healthcare, we have the working class right where we want them.
Indentured servitude.
Indentured servitude.
Indentured servitude. Healthcare slavery. Workers imprisoned in a poisonous system that keeps them sick and desperate and only serves the financial health of those behind very expensive desks.
Gee, I guess we all are just working to keep our healthcare.
It is what...
Don't even say it.
You're a clever girl, Susie.
A real ass.
Quiet! But is it clever to stay working at City Hospital, stinking of urine and vomit, or cleverer to join Didymus and make enough money to, say, pay your rent?
I don't pay rent. I live with my mom.
Maybe purchase a very, very nice automobile?
I ride a bike.
Perhaps pay off your student loans?
How did you know?
Another of our little tricks to keep the workers desperate for any job, no matter how awful. But work for me and you could pay them off.
Never.
Too bad. We could have made a great team.
Dr. Janice, I'm going to report you to Administrator Johnson.
Do you really think he'd believe you over me? Ridiculous. And if you said anything, Sparks, you'd never drive an ambulance again. Do you understand? Never. Anywhere. No job for you.
You'll never get away with this.
Really? Watch me. Oh, for goodness sake, answer it.
Hello?
I need to speak to your boss again.
But, Mom...
Now!
It's my mom.
So?
She wants to talk to you.
That woman has no sense of timing. Hello.
Don't you have any other nurses in that hospital?
Well, yes, of course.
What kind of doctor are you, dragging my daughter around town?
I'm not. She just...
She should be living at home, working high tech.
But Mrs. Terse...
And what is that clicking sound?
Clicking sound?
Something is hitting the phone.
I am holding a vial.
Well, put it down.
I'll put it in the other hand.
Just hand it to someone. It's driving me crazy.
Yes, right. Here, Susie, you hold this vial.
Sure.
Now then, Mrs. Terse, I want to assure you...
I have a question for Susie. Give her the phone.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Yes, you talk to her. Reminds me of my mother. I was trying to explain to her that... Wait a minute.
Dr. Janice.
Don't say anything. Just don't. Come on!
With the blood sample once again in her hand, Susie and Sparks escape the clutches of Dr. Janice and Dr. Janice. But with Didymus buying up all the labs, where can they go?
Gee, Suze, where can we go?
I don't know yet, Sparks, but we'll figure it out.
Susie, hello? What just happened?
I'll tell you later, Mom. Remember, mask, hands, face, home, and... Mom?
Yes, dear?
I love you. Thanks. Well, Sparks, if we want to help the sick and needy, we'll have to get this sample someplace that doesn't have the pre-existing condition of capitalism.
And so Susie and Sparks drive off in good old Ambulance 57. But will they find a medical institution that isn't corrupted by greed? Will Susie ever pay off her student loans? Will Sparks lose her job? And will reason and science be enough to turn the tide? Find out in the coming episodes of Tales of the Resistance! This episode of Novice Nurse Susie Terse has been brought to you by...
Here's a message from me and Becky to give a little hope.
Another day of unemployment. Why'd you even set your alarm?
But hey! Raise a glass to your enjoyment.
Could be the harm. It's day drinking.
Day drinking helps with all that overthinking.
Why try to be productive?
Who cares if it's self-destructive?
The very best way to get out of your funk is day drinking.
Let's get drunk.
Free fast delivery on wine and cocktail kits only from Jamazon Elite.
We're all in this together.
This is your friend, the Gravekeeper, reminding you that next time we will be returning with Fear of the Dark. Our next episode, The Rotten Orchard. See you then.
This episode of Novice Nurse Susie Terse was written by Ellen Callis with Michael Gene Sullivan. Directed by Michael Gene Sullivan and Valina Brown. Commercials written by Marie Cartier. Music and lyrics by Daniel Savio. Music production by Dred Scott. Woodwinds by Dylan Jennings. And audio engineering and sound design by Taylor Gonzalez. Novice Nurse Susie Terse featured Andre Amorodico, Lizzie Calogero, Keiko Shimasato Carrero, Brian Rivera, Marie Cartier, Marissa Ellison, Jillian Eichenberger, Daniel Savio, Michael Jean Sullivan as your announcer, and starred Lisa Hori Garcia as Susie Terse.
The San Francisco Mime Troupe, and for the past 60 years, we have been doing political musical comedies for anybody who will listen. The Mime Troupe is a worker-run, multi-ethnic, multi-generational collective of activist artists committed to overthrowing capitalism one musical comedy at a time. And one of these days, we will get it right. Each summer, we tour our shows at a price every member of the working class can afford. Free. But with theaters and parks closed, protesters in the streets, tear gas in the air, and what could be America's last election looming on the horizon, the Mime Troupe needed to make sure our message of art, activism, and revolution was part of the resistance. And nothing says revolutionary fervor like radio plays. And for those wondering how a radical theater can survive these capitalist times, it's because of you. The Mime Troupe doesn't take corporate sponsorship. You'll never see the AT&T or Comcast Mime Troupe. How could we show the hypocrisies of capitalism if we were in bed with the capitalists? So instead, we are in bed with you, our fellow workers. Let's snuggle. And after that, you can support the troupe by visiting our website, sfmt.org. Thank you to the San Francisco Arts Commission, SF Grants for the Arts, California Arts Council, USPPP, the Fleischacker Foundation, the Bernard Osher Foundation, the Zellerbach Family Foundation, the Don Stevens and Nicole Bellotti Laugh and Love Fund, this public radio station, and listeners like you. Here's another song from the Mime Troupe Archives. We're Almost There, from the show Ripple Effect. Music and lyrics by Ira Marlowe, and sung by Valina Brown, Keiko Shimasato Carrero, Lisa Hori Garcia, and Michael Jean Sullivan.
We turn the tide in the public mind with a sweet blockade, our wet parade. Raise our voice, stop the war. Before it could get started in El Salvador, we stood up on our feet. We got out in the street. Yeah! Told our truth, spread the word from Bayview to Johannesburg. Don't let up, don't get scared, don't let go. For all we know, we're almost there. Heroes don't need no capes. Heroes march in the picket lines with the ones who pick our grapes. Heroes stare down rifles, lie in front of trains. We're loud together, we're out together, joining a human chain. This crowd will not disperse. This crowd will not disperse.
Our friends from the San Francisco Mime Troupe, believe it or not, the seventh episode in 2 weeks' time here on Open Air as part of our Corona Radio Theater presentation. Next week, guest host Angie Coyrell will welcome back members of theater company Word for Word for their fifth appearance on our Corona Radio Theater. They'll be performing several chapters and stories from their latest production, Retablos, Stories from a Life Lived Along the Border, by Octavio Solis. Angie will also talk with dramaturge Philippa Kelly, writer Tanya Schaefer, and director Giovanni Rodriguez about a new piece called Manatee on Mars. That's next week on Open Air. I'm David Latulipe. Thanks so much for listening. My thanks to Damian D. Minor for handling the controls in KLW Studios, and my producer, Neil Swinkles, as always. Send your comments and suggestions for show segments to david@kalw.org. And thank you, everyone, who stepped forward during our fall membership campaign here at KALW. Every dollar does mean a lot to us if you are able to contribute during this fall fundraiser. And it's not too late, of course. You can always go to KALW.org to make a donation at your leisure. And if you're a fan of theater, Please join us tomorrow evening for LA Theater Works. Tomorrow, Camping with Henry and Tom by Marc St. Germain takes us to 1921 in a camping trip in the woods of Maryland with Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, and President Warren Harding. Tomorrow night at 8 here on 91.7 KALW San Francisco.